Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Congratulations, guys. I hear I am the first guest.
Yeah, you're the first guest, Ian. We appreciate it so much that you are still sticking by. How's the coffee roasting business going?
It's fantastic. We are exploring a bunch of new possibilities right now that I can't quite get into, but a lot of cool stuff on the horizon. We just did Robbie Gold's golf outing at Medina, which is pretty cool. He was around hanging out, having the coffee. So a lot of cool things in the works.
What was it like to live through this experience of this losing streak?
I mean, all losing streaks are pretty horrible. I mean, once you get past a couple of days, it's tough. I mean, those things happen throughout the course of a season. I mean, you're always going to go through tough stretches. Even the great groups that we had that were playoff, you know, teams, we had stretches like that. You had stretches where it felt like everything was going wrong. And you just try to use it as a learning experience. I think it was a pretty cool moment for us to get a win on Friday, kind of snapping the Braves streak, snapping our streak. But the crowd at Wrigley, how they kind of rose to the occasion in a close game, and they've been so supportive the whole way through, I think that's pretty special.
You know, the Cubs fans have been lampooned for years about being there for the experience and the tourists and the buses from Iowa and any number of pejorative descriptions of Cub fans. But what I've noticed is once they're there, they're into it. And as much as we want to talk about nobody pays attention to a game anymore, it's hard for the kids to follow along and the games take too long, I will say that even as this is going on, however they're getting there and for whatever reason is bringing them out there, they're into these games. Like they know who's what and what the situations are. And I don't know if there are a lot of teams that have a record like the Cubs have right now that have that kind of engagement.
No, it's the best. It's the best in the world. And the fans at Wrigley have such an understanding of what's happening in the game, of situation, of players getting called up or something meaningful happening to a player. And it's so appreciated by the coaches and the players. I cannot tell you the fact that we're going through something very difficult. And in, you know, we score a run in the eighth inning to go up 1-0 and the place goes crazy. And there's 40,000 people there on Saturday and Sunday, like that. Those things are so important to the players. It makes this the best place to play in the world, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate it.
How do you balance, 'cause baseball players love routine, how do you balance the routine of, well, these are the things that help me get to the major leagues versus changing maybe some things that might be the reason that you're on a losing streak?
I mean, routine for individual players is so important. I think guys' routines change over the season, over the course of the year or years. I think kind of those adjustments are made. And once you have a routine for yourself that you know gets you ready for the game, I think those, you know, those things you stick to, you believe in. And over the course of 162, whatever you do to give yourself that confidence to go and compete every day is the most important. As far as the team, you know, aspect, I think our guys do such a good job of showing up and putting in the work to do, you know, to play this game, to do the right things, and that's half the battle. And I can tell you, it's not, there's, you know, there's nothing out there that's a lack of effort or guys not playing as hard as they can. You know, the guys are going out there put in their work every day, and that is kind of the most important part.
You had a pretty satisfying looking opposite field single when you were batting on the left side, and it seems like you are earning the attention of defenses in a way that is where they're checking their cards and they know where the spray chart is. Have you noticed that? Does it, when you see defenses move to accommodate your likelihoods, does it change anything you do?
No, it doesn't. It can't, I don't think. I think when you're, you know, it's so hard to steer the baseball as it is, but I think there's definitely times in my career early on where when I was starting to be shifted, where I would let that, you know, impact the way that I went about the at-bat, as opposed to just, if I do everything right, the ball should be in the air anyway and probably in a gap. So, you know, if you do everything right, the ball shouldn't be caught. And if it is caught, then you just roll it back the next at-bat. And, you know, I'll take my chances or play the odds over the course of the whole season. I think when I was younger in my career and I was really concerned about if I was going to start the next day and getting hits to be in the lineup the next day, some of those things kind of weighed on me more. But I have noticed that, you know, with two strikes, usually they'll go into more of a shifted guy in the outfield. Before that, they'll kind of stay a little bit more straight up. So, yeah, it's something that I'm aware of, but not changing my approach because of it.
Ian, what's it like to be teammates with Wilson Contreras? And let me explain. I love him. Like, I love that he is emotional and an emotional player in every context of that word. Seeing him in Atlanta with his brother and then seeing him this weekend here with his brother, what's that like for you as his teammate? And what's it like to be teammates with a guy that is that emotionally wired?
I mean, just as a friend, knowing him for as long as I have, to see him be able to play against his brother and watch those two guys on the field is so cool. That's, he cares so much about his family. He's been through so much to get to this point in his career and in his life, and mentored his little brother so much that to be able to kind of see that come to fruition is really, really cool. You know, and he does, he plays with his heart on his sleeves. He plays, from a place of, all of the things that have happened to him and he's gone through in his life. And he projects that onto the field and it motivates him and drives him. And sometimes, his best at bats that he gives, start with, some kind of emotional charge that he gives himself. That's the way that he plays the game, and he's been a super successful player doing it. It's always it's funny because we are such different players, him and I, and it's great to watch what he brings. And you know, we've been together for a long time, and I've gotten to watch him play a ton of baseball, and it's so impressive what he's able to do every day, how many games he's able to catch behind the plate, play all the time. He always wants to be in there in such a attacking position. It's really cool.
I know you're close with Anthony Rizzo too, and he's, you've been very open about how important Anthony has been in your development when you were younger and coming up. There have been perfectly public little dust-ups between Contreras and Rizzo every once in a while. Is that fraternal kind of stuff, or is that what you're talking about with just difference in styles sometimes depending on the tension of a dugout on a given day? Just, you would have some unique insight into what that relationship was.
Yeah, I mean, they're two guys that are really care, and I think, you know, that it's like when you are with someone or a group of guys, it was 5 years, 6 years, 200 plus days a year, it's like being brothers. You know, you have your times where something happens or your brother gets on your nerves, and you know, those things end up being public when you're in a baseball setting. But those guys, they cared about each other. They were great teammates. They loved each other. They won a world championship together, won plenty of playoff games together. Like, it was just, you go through those phases where, when, especially those teams that we had, where you wanted so bad to follow up on the success and to keep being successful, and that pressure and that buildup of, all right, what little thing is wrong, searching for that little thing that's not going right, to try to get back to where that they were in 16, where we were in 17. And just there was a lot of trying to get back to that.
When you're on the road, what's your approach to the cities that you go to? Because I think that you guys are in for the National League, it's my favorite National League city to watch you guys play is in Pittsburgh. I think there's a lot of cool stuff.
That's his hometown, too.
I know. Yeah. And when you're on the road, how do you go about exploring? Is there even time for you to do it?
Not that much, but I do try to get out, try to walk around. You know, my big thing is going to coffee shops, trying to find a coffee shop. I actually just walked one right before this, and it was closed today on this Monday, which was a little bit of a toughie. Had to go find another one, but that's kind of my routine, you know. And then once you've, especially the cities in division that we've been to so much over the years, I kind of have my spots. Go pick up a coffee. Pittsburgh is near and dear to me, obviously, because I grew up here. I got family. My mom's going to be in town for this series with my grandmother, so that'll be great. And going to go back and see. My high school actually won their, I guess you would call it their regional championship. So I'm going to go back and see high school coach and do some of those things. So it's always a good time for me to come back to Pittsburgh.
Is there something that you would consider to be a touristy thing in Pittsburgh that everyone should do? So like, I'll give you an example.
In
Chicago, I feel that everyone should do the architectural tour.
I would say Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh.
That would be my choice, too. But I wanted to hear what Ian thought about this, since he's from there, Dan.
Yeah, Warhol Museum's a good one. I think I would say go ride the incline and get up to the top of Mount Washington. You know, go look at the city from up there. And there is, like, the incline doesn't take that much time, but it's, like, a really cool piece of Pittsburgh history. And when you get up to the top of Mount Washington, there's kind of like a little museum up there too to tell you all about it. So I would hit the incline first.
All right, before we let you go, yesterday was a fascinating day in baseball with, I think, three different players either getting their first major league hit or first major league home run. And then we have all of this silly, selfish negotiation that fans can't just give a guy the ball. Where are your milestone baseballs, and is there any good story behind any of them?
So first home run went to my mother. I think most of my milestone home runs are at my mom's house, because like a lot of them were in my first year. 20 home runs in my first year was a really big one, because I was the fastest Cub ever to 20. That one meant a ton to me. That one's still at my mom's place. I have some of the bats from that year, first grand slam. And then I hit a really, really cool one. I hit on Father's Day, my first Father's Day game. I hit a home run in Pittsburgh, right-handed into the bullpen. And I gave that ball to Frank Paladino, who was like a second father to me, coach when I was growing up, Pittsburgh guy. So I was able to give that one to him right after the game in Pittsburgh. That was really, really special.
That's dope. That's really dope. Well, Ian, thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. Good luck in Pittsburgh.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.